as she twisted the radio dial. All she could find, apart from static, was some local news station talking about farming, or an oldies station somewhere which seemed to be playing a Dolly Parton medley. Or phone signal, come to that.
I know, brilliant, isn't it? A proper break.
Just what you need. Fiona, though Ellie had only ever called her Fee in all the years they'd been friends, whistled happily to the faint strains of I Will Always Love You, returning both hands to the wheel. Maybe. Ellie stared out of the window at the miles and miles of fields around them, populated with the occasional distant hamlet. Three or four houses at best, and that was it. You'd passed through before you knew it. Occasionally there was a pub or a post office come corner shop. And the further they drove into Cornwall, the stranger the place names got. Her favourite so far had been the village of Jolly Bottom and a hill tour signposted off the main road as Brown Willie. Fee's favourite was Compton Pauncefoot, a perfect name for a cat, so she said. But that was much earlier in their drive down from London. Around Somerset, in fact, which seemed like a world away, even though it was itself pretty far into the West Country. In fact, Ellie had never been further southwest than Bristol before. She'd been born and raised in a featureless town in the middle of England and gone to university in Oxford before heading to London in her early 20s to begin her high-flying legal career with one of the top firms there. She hadn't had time for leisurely drives down to the seaside on the weekends. She was always working. And if she wasn't, there was always something. Skiing with her colleagues at the law firm in France or Switzerland, weddings, expensive girls' weekends in Dubai or New York or Paris, parties at her friends' houses in Kensington or Holland Park, where the champagne flowed, and if you didn't stay up drinking until the early hours, you were considered some kind of social deviant. Not just that, you were expected to be in the office by 7 in the morning the next day and finish at 10 at night. It wasn't that Ellie hadn't enjoyed that life, but she was ready to admit now, at the tender age of 37, that she was exhausted, and her body had finally said no to it all in a way that was difficult to ignore. They'd stopped in a nice inn the night before and enjoyed a pretty pleasant meal in the pub, though Fee wouldn't let her have a glass of wine. "Not in your condition," she'd admonished Ellie. "Healthy fruit juice is only for you, my girl." Ellie had protested. It wasn't like she was pregnant. But Fee was taking her job as road trip manager and general carer very seriously. The shiny silver Airstream motorhome had attracted a fair bit of attention so far, she had to admit. At the inn, named the Fare Thee Well, somewhere in Devon, the manager had asked her about it, but she hadn't felt like talking much, leaving it to Fee to explain that they had decided on a road trip down to Cornwall for a while, though she'd avoided explaining why. They'd agreed that Ellie could tell people if she wanted to, but otherwise Fee wouldn't mention it. Since she'd found the lump in her breast, she'd spent every night staring up at the dark ceiling of her flat, with the worst-case scenarios running through her mind. I might have only months to live. I'll die in terrible pain. I'm only 37. There's still so much I want to do. So unfair. Why me? Why now? What's wrong with me? What did I do to cause all this? It had only taken a few weeks from diagnosis to surgery. Apparently her cancer was reasonably aggressive, and her doctor wasn't taking any chances that it wouldn't grow any more than it had. When he'd operated, it was the size of a tangerine. She was grateful that it had been taken care of so fast. She knew that was what you were supposed to say and what you were supposed to think. When people asked her about it, when she had to talk to the HR officer at her firm on the phone, she'd said all the things you were supposed to say to make other people feel better about cancer. They found it really early. The doctors were marvellous. Everything happened really quickly. I'm staying positive. 3 of those 4 statements were true. The breast was taken away, and she'd been sent home with instructions on how to look after the wound, as well as some pretty heavy-duty painkillers, and a course of a hormonal therapy drug intended to stop any new cancer growing. However,